Hi, and welcome to this recording. My name's Steve McKnight, and shortly I'm going to be interviewed by Canadian real estate expert Don Campbell. Don Campbell is the current president of the RAIN Group, the Real Estate Investment Network Group. He's also the best-selling author of Real Estate Investing in Canada, a book that is now the most successful real estate investing book sales-wise in Canadian history. Don is a personal friend of mine I've known since 1999, and he has replicated in Canada the sorts of things that I've done in real estate in Australia in terms of buying hundreds of properties that are positive cash flow. Don used this recording to give to his RAIN members as part of their program, and it's my pleasure to be able to bring you this recording. So let's not hold back. Let's go straight to it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Real Estate Investing in Canada. Today, we're really blessed to have along with us a very special guest, and it's Steve McKnight. He's written two books. The first one was 0 to 130 properties in 3.5 years. The second one was $1 million in property in 1 year. Here's the kind of guys that you want to hang out with and listen to. He owns 250 revenue-producing dwellings, a value over $8 million. He's ridden the market up. And he knows how to make money in a side market and money in a down market. This is the kind of information that you're really going to want to tap into. He started May 1999 as an investor, and he's already created this wealth. That means that anybody listening to this can do exactly the same. Welcome here, Steve.
Thanks for having me, Don. It's an absolute pleasure, and good day to all the people listening to this.
And for those of you listening in Canada, good day means hi. Just for you know.
You'll have to forgive my Australian accent, and I need to remember I can't say words like lolly. I've got to use candy, and there's a couple of other ones, so I'm going to be on my best behavior, I promise.
Excellent. What we're going to do, Steve, is pick your brain. We talked about this 11 key attributes that you put together by working with an awful lot of investors over the years. And we're going to get to that a little bit later. And these are attributes that everyone's going to want to write down. So please make sure you have a pen ready when you're listening to this. But tell me a little bit about the books, Steve. I heard a rumor that the first book was like the number one or number two business book in the whole country when it was out.
Well, it's a funny story. When I wrote these books, the publisher came to me and said, Steve, we've been given your name by someone else, and we think that we would like you to write a book. And no one was more surprised about that than me because I barely passed high school English. And it's funny, I went back to my high school after the book was a bestseller and gave a copy to my English teacher, and he was there scratching his head saying, man, I never thought this would happen. So I barely got through English in year 12, and there I am writing this best-selling book. It's just gone through the 125,000 copies sold. It was the number one business book of any title in Australia in 2004, outsold Kiyosaki, outsold Trump. And that, to me, was just something completely out of left field. But I've got to tell you, it's been tremendously rewarding because every cent of royalty that I get from that book goes into the private foundation that we set up. That's an interesting story in itself. My business partner, Dave Bradley, and I, when we wrote the book, said we don't want the money as such. We were anticipating royalties of maybe $20,000 or $30,000. You know, nothing great. Let's just give it to charity. Well, I've received over $300,000 worth of royalties thus far. And all of a sudden, our little seed about, hey, we're going to do this for charity turned into a huge snowball. But that's the tremendously rewarding things. Not only am I sharing knowledge in the books that people are finding profitable and helpful, but it's the ultimate win-win situation because we're also channeling this money into a perpetual fund that will keep throwing money into the community long after I'm worm food. So, hey, yeah, it's just been really good. The second book's done well. It sold around 30,000 copies. The market's changed here in Australia. We're now into a flat or down period after a sustained boom period. But the book contains the story of people that I've mentored and how they use the information that I gave them to consistently make money in that changing market.
Now, before we get into it, Steve, up here in Canada, is there a way in which we can get a copy of the books?
Sure. If you'd like to grab a copy of the book, the best place to get it is from my website, which is www.propertyinvesting.com. Pretty simple to remember, propertyinvesting.com. There's an online shop where you can get a copy. I know you're going to like the book because the things that I talk about I know are equally applicable in the Canadian market. How do I know? Because I've been there and seen it for myself.
I remember when you were up here and we did the big tour of all of the hot real estate markets and how exciting it was to see the correlation between the Australian and the Canadian transfer from country to country. So, Steve, that time that we spent up here was one of the most fun couple of weeks that I've had in a long, long time. And anybody listening, is if we ever get Steve up here again, you seriously have to be at the event that he speaks at. It's that good. But anyway, so you mentioned something about your mentoring and this mentoring program that you do, and I'm guessing that that's where the 11 key attributes come from, is because you've worked with so many investors that you've really boiled it down to 11 things that people who want to be successful in real estate investing must pay attention to. Would that be a good assumption?
I got to tell you, Don, I've been doing seminars since early 2000, and I've literally trained tens of thousands of people, whether they've come to a seminar or I've talked to people via the media. And I get tremendously frustrated because the overwhelming message that I get is people want to do it, so they're enrolled in the idea of investing in real estate to make money, but they don't know how to do it. So they have a desire without the knowledge to use that desire, and so they end up doing nothing. And it's really frustrating for me because although people think, well, Steve, you must be smart because you wrote a book, and you must be smart because you're an investor, and you must be smart because you're a chartered accountant and a trained professional, what they fail to understand, though, is that really investing is more about common sense than it is about the amount of the IQ score that you get. So that if you can apply common sense to a common situation, you're going to end up with an uncommon profit. And that's the message I want to get out to people, is that I wrote down these 11 attributes because I was so frustrated with the number of people who said, I want to do it. And yeah, I now have the knowledge to do it. But even with the knowledge, they don't actually apply the knowledge and they end up doing nothing. So I was literally pulling my hair out, and I can attest to that because I have less hair now than I had 2 years ago. I think that's got something to do with genes, though. But these 11 attributes I've found, if you can employ them, then that's going to help you to get into the realm of being a property investor rather than just a property talker.
Well, thank you for that. You know, let's start off with your attribute number one, Steve.
All wealth creation, Don. It doesn't matter whether you're into shares or property or some weird agricultural thing. Really, it doesn't matter how much money you earn. The earning money side of it is not where it's at. What's far more important is how much money you keep. Any wealth creation strategy, if you like, needs to have two prongs to it. It needs to have a money-making prong, obviously bringing the income in, but it also needs to have a control of spending prong to make sure that the money that comes in doesn't go straight out again. For instance, I know lots of highly paid professionals, and maybe you do too, people like lawyers and doctors and accountants, people that earn six and even seven-figure salaries each year in their profession. And you would think that these people, six and seven-figure salary people, would have all the money in the world, like they would be sophisticated and smart enough to be wealthy. But that's not the case, because what I've found is just because someone has the appearance of wealth doesn't necessarily mean that they're actually wealthy. And a higher paying job means that, generally speaking, you need a higher paying lifestyle. So the very first attribute, and it's not number one out of pure chance, it's number one because it's so important, is the control over your spending. Now, does that mean that I'm saying that you need to live cheap? No, definitely not. I'm not saying that you need to eat no-name baked beans or, you know, no-name product, no-name noodles or anything else like that. I'm not saying that you need to drive a car that's 30 years old. And I'm not saying that you ought to miss out on the things in life that you really deserve. But what I am saying, though, is that you need to live a lifestyle that is less than what you currently earn. Do you know, Don, that when a bank lends money, they don't lend money against the property. I know this is going to sound funny. The property is the security that the bank takes in a worst-case scenario. What then does a bank lend against? A bank lends against your future ability to earn. If you want to improve the amount of funding you can get from a lender, then the first skill that you are going to need to demonstrate that you have mastered is control over your spending, because that control over your spending flows through to your personal asset situation, which the bank is going to be interested in, your credit record, which of course the bank's going to be interested in, and also your ability to save, which is what the bank's going to be interested in as well, when determining whether or not you're actually going to repay the money in the first place. Control of spending, Don, is a matter of discipline. It's a matter of discipline through delayed gratification. Now, delayed gratification is not permanent gratification. I'm not saying that you're never going to get the benefits from investing. But what you need to do is work out, hey, what am I ready to give up now to get back in multiples later on? And I can only talk about my situation. In May 1999, I was working as an accountant. My business partner, Dave Bradley, and I had our own practice together. And I was getting some good money and I wasn't working particularly hard, but I felt that I was golden handcuffed to my clients. So I didn't want that. I wanted the ability to have a say in whether or not I worked rather than letting the clients dictate about how much money I was going to bring through the door. And my thought was that I was going to earn investment income to replace my accounting fees that I was earning from my clients. Thereby, the more investment properties that I earned, then the less accounting clients that I needed. Now, that's fine, but in order to make all this work in the first place, I needed to get some money for deposits. I didn't have a rich uncle or a money tree or anything else like that that was growing in my backyard. So what we did, my wife and I did, is we made the call. We said, we are going to sacrifice some of the lifestyle that our friends are getting. In this case, it was all our friends were buying houses and calling us mad to rent. We said, no, renting for us is cheaper than owning because we don't have the repair costs or the council rates costs or the interest cost, which was non-deductible. What we said is we'll take our limited savings base and invest that into investment property with the view that once we had enough investment property that was profitable, we'd then sell a couple of them, sell a couple of the cows, as I call it, to go and buy our property for cash later on down the track.